Good morning, everybody. And a very warm welcome today to worship at Water Lane. It looks like quite a few people must have had too much Christmas pud, I think. Not quite made it out this morning, but there you go. For those that are here, a very warm welcome. And welcome, of course, to our friends who will be listening to this later at Carr's Court and on the recording. There will be coffee served, and just in case you haven't had your full of mince pies yet, I'm told there are still a huge quantity of mince pies in the kitchen, so probably if anyone wants to take any mince pies away with them, they'd be more than welcome to do so. Katie's just asked me to remind you of one rather sad thing, of course, which is Chris Legg's funeral, which is this Friday here at 1:30. And I'm sure those of you who have known Chris would like to be here to say farewell to him. Anyway, on a lighter note, we're of course very pleased to welcome Dave Allaby, who will be leading today's worship, following the introit from the choir.
Welcome to worship on this first Sunday of Christmas. Now, when the Psalms were first being used, and excuse my voice, I've had a cold over Christmas, so I'm just coming out of that. So, when the Psalms were first being used, they were often used with two choirs either side of the building, so that you'd have call and response. So, much of what we're going to do this morning will be similar, but we're going to start with a psalm, just reading it, not singing it, and it's Psalm 100. It's 822 in our hymn books, and if the choir can do all of it, that would probably help, and then if the left-hand side of the congregation do the, let's see how it works out, how many verses we've got. Alternate verses, yeah. So first verse, second, third, fourth. Okay, one, two. Choir can support right throughout. Alternate verses, and then say what is in bold, the response, everyone joined together in that. So it's 822, Psalm 100. It's a praise and thanksgiving and a call for us to praise God for the love of all ages.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness.
Everyone, come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Wonderful. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, and we will do. We're going to sing hymn number 330, Joy to the World. The Lord is come.
Thank you.
you sit down. Now, Olivia and Joshua are going to lead us in a prayer.
We welcome you, Jesus, child of God, gift of joyfulness.
We welcome you, Jesus, child of God, gift of peace.
We welcome you, Jesus, child of God, gift of hope.
We welcome you, Jesus, child of God, gift of wisdom.
We welcome you, Jesus, child of God, gift of justice.
We welcome you, Jesus, child of God, gift of forgiveness.
We welcome you, Jesus, child of God, gift of love, in a world that needs to be overflowing with your love. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Now, we're hoping this is going to work, technology permitting. What do we all need? After Christmas, and we have consumed 250 mince pies, and maybe even more to come, we need a workout. A proper good workout. And this next praise song has the double benefit of being a good, lively praise song and a good workout. So we began by praising God using a psalm which might be something like 3,000 years old. So now we're going to do praise God by singing something that's probably about 3 years old. Say, technology permitting, because it's a video. And Christmas isn't Christmas without an action song, is it really? You've got to have something. I must admit that, you know, a minister or a preacher who's been round the block a few times would at this point call on the church's dance and aerobics specialist. And unfortunately, as I've been out of action for a few days, unfortunately I am the dance and aerobics specialist on this morning. Some of the actions, well, you will see them really. You can pick them up as you see them on the video. But the chorus is O-O-O, which is waving the arms about up here. Unstoppable. The thing is called God's love is unstoppable. And unstoppable, you crouch and you push in that fashion. There. And then we have feel the move, or, as the song goes on, feel the force, and that is crouching and pushing with the elbows. See, what a good workout this is. And then we have the power of love and ending, and the arms come together overhead. And we have another phrase, God is everywhere. So that's roughly it. It's quite repetitive, and all I would say to you is, do as you are able. So you can stand, sit, leap about, try a burst for a minute, whatever works for you. And those who can't do the actions obviously will have a lot more breath left to do the singing, which should come up on our video. So attempt it in modified form as you are able. So God's love is unstoppable. Don't need to do the hula hoops. All the somersaults.
Hit it. Go. Everything.
Picture. I mean, we should have had you video doing that. That was tremendous. Well done. Normally, I can't do any sort of actions and sing. Thankfully, I can't really sing, so I could do a few actions. So, our worship today takes us from the celebration of the birth of Jesus and moves us on to discover what happens as Jesus starts to grow up. Now, I love Christmas and all the activities associated with them. I love to see the excitement and wonder in our children. And just to go back a couple of weeks, what a brilliant nativity play we had here 2 weeks ago. Wasn't it tremendous? Really, really good. There was one little boy at another church who was so disappointed with the casting for the nativity, because he wanted to be Joseph. And he was given the role of the innkeeper. And that hurt was still with him on the day of the performance. And so when Joseph came to knock at the door of the inn, the innkeeper, looking first at Mary, and of course Joseph says, "Have you any room at the inn?" And the innkeeper looks at Mary and said, "Well, you can come in," then to Joseph, "but you'll shove off." And, you know, apart from an incident like that, you know, we do, I think, see through our children what a wonderful thing has happened at Christmas. The wonder of Christmas, that God has come to us as a poor, vulnerable child. There's a real truth in our soul that's awakened by that whole experience of sharing that with our children. One of the things I like among the activities at Christmas is party games. Now, has anybody been playing party games this Christmas? Anybody got any favourites? What favourite party games?
Articulate.
Right, that's a proper boxed game, isn't it? Yes, anybody else? Oh yes, guess who and so on. Charades. Charades is the old favourite, isn't it? We're going to play charades here for a moment. For those of you who don't know charades, right, you have to mime the title of a well-known play, book, film or song. You have to mime it. And I can remember playing this with three generations of my family, with my mum and dad there. And my mum waited patiently for ages to have a go, because everyone else was guessing much quicker than her. And eventually it came to her turn. And all she did was she indicated that it was going to be a film, and then put four fingers up to show there were four words. And then I said, "Gone with the Wind." And that's all she'd done. Four words, and I guessed it. Oh, she was so disappointed. Now, what we're going to do is to try to guess. I'd be very happy if you guessed this straight away, unlike my mother. A well-known Christmas song. It's not a carol, just a Christmas song. So I will, as well as doing the actions, I will tell you what I'm trying to do here. So it's a song, okay? And it's got four words, yep? And I'll start with the difficult bits of it to make it that little bit harder for you, I suppose. What should we have? Oh, yes. So, fourth word, okay, and it's got two syllables. First syllable, right? I have to do it as... sounds like... Sounds like. Second syllable, sounds like... Not three. Opposite. Can I hear pass? Pass. Pass. So that's the difficult word, sounds like. Anybody got an idea of what sounds like?
Christmas.
Marvellous. Right, I'll make it really easy for you now. The first word is... just the number. Okay? Are we getting here? So it starts with 12 and finishes with Christmas. What are the words in between? 12 days of Christmas. But we're not going to sing that. because that's got all these sort of strange creatures like partridges and pear trees and stuff like that. We're going to sing something that is about what happens specifically at Christmas, the 12 hours of Christmas. Now, although it should come up on the screen, It will. I'm going to hand out a few sheets. So, this is not rehearsed. This is all very spontaneous. Oh, I've probably taken three sheets there. Yeah. And again, we're going to divide our congregation up. I have done this with individuals doing all the parts. Thank you very much. But any more? Another one. And I've done it with rows. But today, we're just going to do it with one side of the church and then the other side of the church singing alternate parts. And hopefully the choir will have enough breath to do all of it. All of it. You manage that. So we start off when the words come up. So here, everyone together, at the first hour of Christmas, the world in darkness lay. Our Saviour Jesus is born. So then, at the second hour of Christmas, the world in darkness lay. Number one is left-hand side. You'll be singing, sheltered in a stall. Then all together with the sort of chorus, our Saviour Jesus is born. We start off with the third. At the third hour of Christmas, the world in darkness lay. Number two, over here, in Bethlehem, sheltered in a stall, our Saviour Jesus is born, and goes on alternating through the 12 hours of Christmas. It may work, it may not. Let's give it a go. Have we got some music, Gwyn?
Thank you.
good. Well done. Superb. Wow. We're going to take our offering now for God's work in His church. Lord, we ask for your blessing on this offering, that these gifts and their givers will serve you faithfully. Fill our hearts this Christmas time with the love that cares. Show us how we can best serve those in need for the sake of the child who was born in a stable. Amen. Let us pray. Ever-loving God, we celebrate the arrival of Jesus Christ among us. A baby laid in a manger bed. An adult who taught, healed, shared, blessed, and spread the knowledge of your love wherever his footsteps led, both in life and through death to resurrection. As we reflect on the Christmas story, let us pray that we can have the grace of Mary, the understanding of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the enthusiasm of the shepherds, the searching of the wise men, the hope of the peace that the Christ child brought as we continue to follow in his footsteps, to live out our discipleship in thoughts and actions. Lord, we know there are too many times when we let you down. But we know, as we confess this, that you give us words of forgiveness and grace, that we might begin again, empowered by your Spirit. Anyone who is joined in Christ is a new creation, a new being. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing again now. It's number 207 in the hymn books. Jesus is the Heart of Christmas, and we're singing it to the tune of Cwm Rhondda, especially for Gwyn. Please sit down. We're going to hear our gospel reading for today, which is from Luke chapter 2.
Luke chapter 2, reading from verses 41 to 52. And this is the account of the boy Jesus in the temple. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travellers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years, and divine and human favor. Amen.
We're going to sing again now. It's number 510 in the hymn books. Not one we sing very often, I don't think, but it's very appropriate for this particular gospel reading. It says, "Jesus, come and gather round." The choir are going to sing the first verse, and then we're going to join in thereafter.
Thank you.
I don't know whether you watch on television those programs that show you young children developing in certain age groups. So things like The Secret Life of 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds. Things like that. Have you seen those programs on TV? They're fascinating. Lynn and I have enjoyed watching them very much. Showing how children interact with each other. And some series is how young children interact with older folk. And what a benefit they are to each other across the wide generation gap. About children building relationships. Children are brilliant and fascinating. They say and do stuff that cuts through life's waffle. There's a truth and a spontaneity in what they say. Sometimes it can be shockingly profound and perceptive. Like the little one who was asked, who was in charge at home? And she confidently replied, Daddy's the boss until Mummy gets home. And here's a useful tip from another youngster. If you can't remember how old you are, look in the back of your pants. Mine says 5 to 6 years. And then from an older girl, about 10, who seems to be growing up quite quickly. What is the moral of the Cinderella story? Good things happen when you wear the right shoes. Children penetrate through the fog of adult confusion and negativity. A little girl was drawing happily at home, and her mum said, what are you drawing? And she said, I'm drawing God. She said with absolute certainty, I'm drawing God. And the mum says, oh, that's interesting. People don't really know what God looks like. And the little girl said, well, they will when I finish this. If we were ever to know what God is like, Jesus had to reveal himself. And this is what happens at Christmas, with the birth of Christ. God becomes human, not only human, but a very vulnerable babe, born in poor circumstances in a stable. Emmanuel, God with us. And everything from that point changes. When you believe that God has come alongside us, is one with us, born among the marginalized and poor. Now, I know children grow up quickly, but here we are in Luke's Gospel, and 1 minute we've got the baby born in a manger, and here we are in chapter 2, and suddenly Jesus is 12. And he's in the temple in Jerusalem, talking and listening to the teachers there. Now, what's awful in this story is that his mum and dad had lost him. They'd set off for home. Every year they come up to Jerusalem for the Passover as a family. And this time Mary and Joseph had set off back for home. Obviously, with lots of others, and they'd be talking excitedly about what they'd done, what they'd experienced in this religious convention, come holiday, come reunion, seeing their old friends again. And after a day's travelling, Mary and Joseph realise Jesus isn't around. And they dash back to Jerusalem. And a couple of days they spend looking into all the places that they'd been with him. But there's no sign of their 12-year-old. Now, I've had a child go missing, not just in Tesco's. We were on holiday at Marlborough College Summer School in Wiltshire, and we were staying in our caravan in nearby Savernack Forest. Don't know whether any of you know Savernack Forest. It's quite big, a lot of trees. And I was left in charge of my two boys, then aged about 3 and 5. And I can remember we were playing outside the caravan, and I can remember turning to look after the young one. Not sure what had happened, but I turned around to look after him, turned back again, and the 5-year-old had gone. Not a sign anywhere. And I called, and I called, nothing. So I then had to set off to search. And I had to hand over the 3-year-old to a neighbour, and off I went, running and calling. As I said, it's quite big, Savernack Forest. It's 4,500 acres. It felt like half of England. And I ran and I ran, and, you know, if anyone doubts that we can suddenly find a superpower in us in certain situations, that we can do something that we'd never ever done before, then I felt it that day, because I ran around. Mo Farah would not have kept up with me as I ran that day, and I ran gathering other searchers along the way. I ran for 20 minutes to half an hour, not a sign of him. And then I arrived back at the caravan, and my 5-year-old just seemed to wander out of the forest, so unconcerned, so untroubled by what had happened. It was a sort of "what's all the fuss about" response from him. "I just went to have a look round," he said. And this is what we have, in a way, from Jesus in this story. What's all the fuss about? He's totally absorbed in what he's doing. He's lost in what he's doing in the temple, talking to the scholars there. "Why were you searching for me?" he says. "Did you not know I must be in my Father's house?" Or as some translations say, the Authorized Version included, "I must be about my Father's business." In God's house, learning from the teachers and having serious discussions about God and faith with them. "Why were you searching for me? I am about my Father's business." Apart from the meaning of that phrase, does anyone know what's unique about that whole quotation? Okay, it's the only thing in the New Testament that represents Jesus saying something as a child. The only quotation of Jesus as a child in the New Testament. So here we have this move towards his ultimate ministry. His destiny as the Son of Man, God with us, Emmanuel. To show us that God so loved the world that he sent his Son to express a love that forever binds us as a people of faith. God who reveals himself in the birth, life, ministry, death and rising of this one person, Jesus Christ. No longer should we feel God remote, unknowable. He opens up and embraces humanity through this child. The 12-year-old Jesus is engaged with the learned adults in the temple, different generations seeking answers to important questions about faith. And this is what we do here. When we meet here in church, we enjoy similar sharing of faith, of experiences, a reminder that we grow by listening to each other. We spent quite a bit of time, one side of the church saying something and another side of the church saying, listening to each other today. Adults' eyes are often opened by children. But this story about Jesus not only points to the wisdom of a child and the certainty, in this case, of Jesus knowing his calling, it also offers a warning. If Mary and Joseph could lose contact with Jesus, if they can take his presence for granted in the hubbub, in the celebration, in the fuss that was going on at that time, then so can we. Unless we keep close to Jesus through prayer and worship, through going about the Father's business, and through learning from the wisdom of children, their openness, their willingness, their creativity, their readiness to start every day full of hope and optimism. Jesus said we should become like children to enter the kingdom of heaven. It was a message interpreted by the priest writer Michel Quast like this. I love this. God says, I like youngsters. I want people to be like them. I don't like old people unless they are still children. I want only children in my kingdom, youngsters, twisted, humped, wrinkled, white-bearded, all kinds of youngsters. But youngsters, for I live in children, and it is I who look out through their eyes. So I began by talking about the TV programs that show us children developing from 2 years and up. And one story from one of those earlier series always sticks out in my memory. There was a little challenge set by the psychologist for one group of children, and a little girl had won it, but her winning had made her sad because the others were upset that they hadn't won. And in her triumph, she felt isolated. And she understood why she felt isolated and sad, even in her triumph. So she wanted to encourage the others. You know, this girl was only 3 or 4. She may not have won a prize that she could divide up among them all, but she worked so hard in encouraging the other children. She made absolutely sure she could support them and make them feel better and give them hope that the next time they may win something, they would succeed. It was wonderful. The wisdom of children. There is a danger as we progress through Christmas, time and time again, that the story is all too familiar and comfortable. Like Mary and Joseph, we can lose touch with Jesus in the midst of all the celebration. We need to hold on to the challenge that Jesus brings us, to learn from our children, to keep Christ close, that we might best use and share our faith to make a difference in others' lives, to lift the burden of the heavy laden, to help heal the brokenhearted, to be about the Father's business. Amen. Now, we've had a lot of noise and activity. So for our prayers of intercession, we're going to have some silence. But I wonder if you would suggest the sort of topics, people, that we might pray for in our silence, in our prayers of intercession. So if anyone would like to wave at me, or shout out in a clear voice. I've gone a bit deaf this last 2 days, so there's no guarantee I would hear you, but what should we be praying for?
Yes, my mum, called Florence. She's 92, and she fell down at home and broke her hip last Monday and is in hospital at the moment over Christmas.
Thank you, Lynn. Lynn's mum. Anyone else? Any other prayers? Have you seen the news over the past 2 or 3 weeks? Gwyn is waving at the back.
The people who are trying to escape across to Britain, coming across the Channel, and those who are helping to rescue them.
Yeah. So desperate refugees, those coming across our waters and elsewhere, risking life.
The people who feel threatened by them coming across and their lives being disrupted.
Yes. For people feeling threatened by outsiders coming into our country.
The people of Indonesia affected by the tsunami just before Christmas.
Yeah. People who've lost their lives in the tsunami, lost homes, families, and so on. Yes, Chris?
People who spent Christmas alone.
People who spent Christmas alone. The lonely. Anyone else while I'm here? John.
All the people at places like Crisis who help people who are homeless and couldn't be with anybody else at Christmas.
So we thank God for those who work with the homeless and offer them, particularly at Christmas, some hospitality. Anyone else? Howard.
People who have lost somebody very dear to them just before Christmas. My cousin lost her mother.
So the bereaved, people who have lost someone dear this year and going back in time. Because, you know, for some people, Christmas is not always the happy time it should be. Because they have lost those that they shared Christmas with in the past. We have some good topics for praying. So I'm not going to say any more apart from closing our intercession. So, in a few moments of silence, let's pray for all those situations and people. Hear our prayers, Lord, and further those who will accomplish your will. Use us as your hands and feet and presence in the world today. We pray all this through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Amen. I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon us now. Our final hymn, number 350 in the hymn book.
Oh,
saying the grace to each other. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. God bless.